Live from Nashville, Tennessee, Famous Music Row. It is Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio. My name is Peter Rosenberger, and I know you're stopping right now. You're thinking, wait a minute, are you kidding me? There's a show for caregivers on American Family Radio? Yes, there is. This is our brand new show here on American Family Radio. We are strengthening the family caregiver. You know, the middle name of American Family Radio is family, and we're all about strengthening the family caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger. I'm bringing you three decades of experience to help you as a caregiver stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. Now, I've been doing a show for a long time, and I'm so grateful that the folks at American Family Radio said, you know what? We need this show on our network. We got folks in this audience who are struggling with this. Folks at the corporate office that are struggling with this. Everybody, here's the deal about being a caregiver. Not every family is going to go through divorce. Did you know that? My mother and father have been married for 60 years. I've got four brothers and a sister, and there's 17 grandchildren. I've counted up, there's 250 years of combined marriages in my immediate family, and no divorces. Not every family is going to go through divorce. Not every family is going to go through a substance abuse problem. Not every family is going to go through some of the things that you see out there, but every family, without exception, is going to go through some type of caregiving experience. If you love somebody, you're going to be a caregiver. If you live long enough, you're going to need one. And in my case, I've been a caregiver now for more than 30 years for my wife with severe disabilities. And we're going to get to know that story a little bit as the show unfolds. I've got a brother with a daughter with cerebral palsy. She's 30 years old. She's basically like caring for a two-year-old. My father, Parkinson's. I mean, I can go down the list. It is affecting every family in America. Currently, 65 million Americans are serving as a family caregiver. Is there any wonder why we need a show for it? But there hasn't been one until we started doing this show like this, and we're the only syndicated show. We're the largest show out there for the family caregiver. And one of the things I really want to just drill down on American Family Radio and why I'm doing this show on American Family Radio, if you go out to their website at afa.net, you will see a list of their action statements. Look at number 4, which says, motivate people to take a stand on cultural and moral issues at the local, state, and national levels. When I started talking to American Family Radio about coming on to this network, one of the things I said was, I am really tired of the world getting out in front of these issues that are affecting our society and thinking somehow they own the issue. As people of faith, as believers, we have the responsibility to get out in front of this. And this is the one issue right now that's affecting our country in a massive level that I think we as believers can, must, and are leading the charge on. This show now is setting a bar for what we're going to do, because one of the issues that affect every caregiver, I mean, without exception, is isolation. And what better way to penetrate into that isolation than through this vast network on American Family Radio and to go to these folks who can't always get to church, who can't always get out to community. We're going to take community to them. And that's what I am so excited about. And if you go back, scroll down on that page when you go out to afa.net, scroll down, and it says, as part of their action statements, that to the end that AFA spurs activism directed to preservation of marriage and the family. To that end, the AFA spurs activism directed to preservation of the marriage and family unit there. And look what it says there, marriage and family. If there's one issue that is tearing apart families, it's this issue, but nobody's really talking about it. The divorce rate in a family with a disability is near 90%. I got that from my friend Johnny Erickson Tata and her organization, Johnny and Friends. 89 and some change percent. That's the divorce rate if you have a disability in the family, whether it's a child, spouse, whatever. Now think about that for a moment. It's tearing apart families. Families are coming to blows when taking care of an aging parent. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a neurologist here in Nashville at Vanderbilt University. deals with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and Huntington's disease. Those are his three big issues that he deals with. And I said, when you give a diagnosis of Alzheimer's to a family member, what is the number one issue that the families start to talk about? And he said, hands down, money. Money. Taking care of a loved one with Alzheimer's or any type of long-term disability is going to stretch you financially. And what do you think that does to the relationships? When you start talking money in relationships, it can get gnarly really quick. People get stressed out. People are weary. They're frustrated. They're angry. There are situations where you've got loved ones taking care of a family member who abused them when they were smaller. And now all of a sudden they're changing adult diapers for this individual and there are unresolved issues. There are children with special needs that are, we did a show on autism one time, not too terribly long ago. And the lady with the son with autism was talking and she said, I have a son who's 7 or 8 years old and he was getting a haircut and just had a meltdown right there at the barbershop, or I guess they call it salons now. I don't think we even have barbershops anymore. But she said, I wanted to wear a shirt that says, don't judge, it's autism. There are so many different scenarios going out there. I've got a cousin with a child who's got severe developmental disabilities that would just scream through the night. And in my case, I've been dealing with a medical nightmare that has 80 plus surgeries, multiple amputations, 7 insurance companies, almost 100 doctors, 12 different hospitals, well over $10 million. And this has been going on since Reagan's first term. That's a long time. So how do you help those who help those? And right now, across the country, across this network, people are listening in for the first time on American Family Radio, a show that is exclusively for the family caregiver. Pastors, how do you minister to these people? How do you pray? What do you pray? What scripture do you offer to these folks that specifically addresses their needs? My wife's name is Gracie. I can't tell you how many people have asked me about her over these years, but I can count the ones who ask about me. And that's why we're doing a show for caregivers, because they get lost in this thing and they don't know how to get to safety. They don't even know what safety looks like. And so we're on a mission to help strengthen family caregivers. And we're so glad you're with us. I need to introduce somebody who's going to be behind the board. And as Jim Stanley, and he has championed this. Jim, you still with us?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Oh, good. Thank you for championing this show to be on American Family Radio. It is a real pleasure, and I'm deeply honored. And Jim's been holding his breath to make sure I don't embarrass him.
Oh, I have no qualms about that.
You have no qualms about embarrassing you, or that I will embarrass you?
Yeah, I've got pretty thick skin.
This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show. This is the world's number one show for the family caregiver. We are so grateful that you're with us. 888-589-8840. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me. But over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims who lose everything.
It's truly a blessing. I really don't have the words to express.
And yet, they see a glimmer of hope when a volunteer shows up.
Building the home, that's the second reason we're here. The number one reason is to share the gospel and give them hope.
It's everything that's right in America. I mean, it really represents the best that we have to offer.
That's one of the main reasons for doing it, is being able to be the hands and feet of Jesus and coming out and working with so many wonderful volunteers.
I just feel like it's important in this day and age to teach a child how to serve.
Please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved. Submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well.
I love coming in the job room because you can see these pieces of paper, they aren't just a piece of paper.
Right.
It's a family that's hurting, and it's a gospel opportunity.
And I just thank God, you know, for this moment. I mean, I'll be back in my home, and I know it's going to be awesome.
Come love others with 8 Days of Hope.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio. This is Peter Rosenberger bringing you more than 3 decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. If you want to be on the show, we're live on Saturday mornings, 888-589-8840. And this is our inaugural show here on American Family Radio. We're so glad that you're with us. It is a show for the family caregiver. More than 65 million Americans right now are putting themselves between a vulnerable loved one and even worse disaster. How do you help the ones who are pushing the wheelchair? How do you help the ones who are standing in the hospital room corner, who are back and forth to nursing homes, assisted living, hospitals, who are having a meltdown at 2 o'clock in the morning in a hospital parking garage? How do you pray for these people? What do you pray for these people? You know, somebody, I was talking to a guy one time who's an apologetics guy, but sometimes these guys can be a little bit on the overbearing side. And he was a big old fella. And I said, well, what would you say to somebody who is suffering? And he loudly proclaimed, God is sovereign. And I looked at him and I said, well, that must have been very comforting to Uriah's parents. And it took him a minute to figure out what I was saying. And then he kind of backed up. I'm kind of a caregiver sheepdog. I want to make sure that my fellow caregivers understand that their Savior is acquainted with their grief. People used to tell me all the time, by the way, if you want to be on the show, 888-589-8840. And you can also follow along at Hope for the Caregiver on Facebook Live. We're doing that as well. Jim, I actually even got, you know, somewhat presentable this morning so I could be on video. So
that's always important.
Well, while my hair screams to be on television, my face demands that I'm on radio. And
well, I've always been told I have a face for radio. So
well,
there you
God,
go.
God love you. And hopeforthecaregiver.com as well. And you can, but certainly we'd love you to call in. And later on the show, Joe Bonsall of the Oak Ridge Boys is going to be calling in and sharing his family's amazing story through this. And you're not going to want to miss that interview. 888-589-8840. In my journey of this, I've struggled with what does it look like to trust God in this? And people used to tell me, oh, you just trust Jesus, trust Jesus, trust Jesus. Well, what does that even mean? And Jesus understands, and Jesus understands. Well, and I looked through all of Scripture, every bit of it, read it from cover to cover. I never saw anybody in Scripture who was taking care of a wife with severe disabilities, like mine, just had her 80th surgery in January. Gave up both of her legs in the 90s. Car wreck was in 83. And it keeps going. We've got more stuff coming. I mean, there's no sign of it slowing down at all. Massive orthopedic trauma, and she lives with relentless pain all the time. I never saw anything in Scripture about that. And I looked. People used to say, well, Jesus understands. Jesus understands. I didn't. It was such a disconnect for me. I didn't understand what they were talking about. Where? Show me. And nobody did. And finally, I stepped back from the totality of Scripture. And I just saw it from cover to cover, just from like a 50,000 foot view. And you know, Scripture refers to the church as the bride of Christ. And it dawned on me that our Savior's been taking care of a wounded bride for eternity. Our Savior is in love with a wounded bride, and He understands my journey. And when I saw that, I realized, oh my goodness, Christ is the ultimate caregiver of a wounded bride. Then it started to sink in that He does understand what I'm dealing with. He does understand what I feel. And He is ever present in it. And all of a sudden, scriptures and hymns and things such as that changed dramatically for me. And I saw that, you know, like the old hymn says, the prayer changes. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. And when you start understanding this, your prayers, your theology, everything about it starts to change. And you realize that this is not about God bailing me out of something. It's about God equipping me for something, strengthening me for something, perseverance, endurance. And those words don't play real well in today's drive-through theology, you know, and they don't. And you're not going to hear that selling on a lot of big TV shows out there. Even in Christian circles, you're just not going to hear it because we don't want that. We want instant relief for something. But when you're a caregiver, you don't get instant relief. This is the long haul, and the valley of the shadow of death sometimes extends beyond the horizon. So what does our mission become? How does it change? How do you step into this, and what do you offer? And that's what I'm bringing a verse today, and this is from 2 Corinthians. It's a verse I cling to a lot. And it's 2 Corinthians 1:4. It says, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And that's when I realized, okay, God has comforted me in this journey of mine and has sent many, many people over these 3 decades. I would be a poor steward of that if I did not offer the same comfort that He Himself has given me through so many different folks. And I've tried to aggregate this into a way that makes sense for the family caregiver. I speak fluent caregiver. I get the journey. And there are people literally across the nation right now listening to this show, across the world streaming it. And I know a lot of you, your jaws are dropping open because nobody talks to caregivers. They always ask how your loved one is doing, but they don't ask how you're doing. And so that's part of the journey. And you're going to hear this unfold as this show continues to expand and grow and as we get to know each other a little bit more. But caregivers, let me just give you this. Caregivers suffer from what I call the 3 I's. Now, if you're driving, don't write this down. I'll repeat it often. If you're not driving, write it down. And if you want it, my book is Hope for the Caregiver. You can get it wherever books are sold. 3 I's. Remember these things. We lose our independence. I'm hearing a bunch of people out there just saying, mm-hmm, and they're nodding their heads. Yes, you do lose your independence. You lose your identity. Ask a caregiver, how are you doing? And you'll hear things like, well, we just got home from the hospital, or he had a bad night, or she's not doing too well, or our situation is such and such. They don't know how to speak in first person singular very well. It doesn't come easy to them to say, I hurt, I'm tired, I'm struggling, I'm mad, I'm resentful, I'm depressed, whatever. I don't care what comes after the word I, because now we can have an honest conversation, but we got to work hard to get to the point where we can say, I feel whatever. And that's speaking from your own heart. And that's usually when the tears and the stammering come, because caregivers don't like to speak from their own heart. We're uncomfortable with it. It's scary. It's painful. It hurts. But that's what we're going to do, because that's how we're going to get stronger. And the 3 I is isolation. And we are cut off. And caregivers can feel isolated in a crowded room. Caregivers can feel isolated on a crowded pew. One of the most difficult times in my life, hands down, was on an Easter Sunday at church. My kids had sons. We have 2 sons. They're grown. But at the time, they were with grandparents. Gracie was struggling. I mean, really struggling. We thought we were going to lose her multiple times, and she was in bed 90% of the time. And I slipped out on Easter Sunday morning to go to church. I was in a church full with 2,000 people. There was a full orchestra. It was, man, everybody, it was flawlessly executed for an Easter service. Beautiful service. And I was towards the front, and everybody was singing Christ the Lord is Risen Today and all these wonderful great hymns of the faith. And I was so discouraged, and I felt so lonely and so isolated in a room full of 2,000 people singing about the resurrection of Christ. Now, if I can feel that way, I bet I'm not the only one. How do you help people get from that disconnect of watching somebody suffer, feeling helpless to watch somebody suffer, and then pointing them to this resurrected Christ and letting them see how that applies to where they are right then? What does it look like to trust in Jesus when your loved one goes into a seizure or goes into respiratory arrest or is screaming out in agony and pain? Or is looking out a window, you can't even reach them. They're checked out. What does it look like to trust in Jesus in that? That's what this show is about. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to strengthen each other in this journey. And this is why I'm so grateful that American Family Radio has said, you know what? We want this show on our network. If you want to be on the show, if this is where you are, this is your show. This is your time to call in. It's a safe place to do it. You can call and cry, vent, whatever you need to do. It doesn't matter. This is your place to do it. 888-589-8840. And then you can follow along on Facebook Live at Hope for the Caregiver. Twitter is Hope for Caregiver. That's the number 4. And our YouTube channel, Hope for the Caregiver. I try to kind of stay with the same thing. If, you know, I don't want it to be real complicated. We caregivers tend to try to boil it down to its simplest. But I am very grateful that you are with me on this. If a caregiver goes down, it's a 2-for-1 deal. I mean, that's just the math. Think about what I just said about my wife. Both legs amputated, 80 surgeries, 100 doctors, 7 different insurance companies, $10 million, 12 different hospitals. What happens to her if I'm not in a good place emotionally, physically, fiscally, spiritually? What happens to her? What happens to your loved one? What happens to your parent? What happens to your special needs child? What happens if you're not in a good place? And I would love to tell you that I'm up on top of this mountain dispensing sage-like wisdom because I own this. No, I preach it to myself. I'm the crash test dummy of caregivers. If you could fail at it, I failed at it. But you don't have to. And you can learn from my mistakes. And I'm okay with that. You know, I've never learned anything from trial and success, but I've learned a lot of things from failure. And do you really have 30 plus years to figure this out where you are? This is why I do the show. And the show is about that person who is so discouraged, who is so weary, who is shaking their fist at God, who is turning their back on God, who is not willing to believe that God even cares for them, who looks at their suffering loved one or their disabled loved one and says, is there any hope? Yeah, there is. There is hope for the caregiver. We can live a calmer, healthier, and dare I say it, a more joyful life. And we're going to keep talking about it. I've got a guest coming on next segment here. Don't go away. Joe Bonsall of the Oak Ridge Boys is going to be with us. And we are so grateful you are too. 888-589-8840.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me. But over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations."
This is Bert Harper. Join me for Exploring Missions, revealing the hearts of missionaries, their stories, and lives. Across the world or across town, Exploring Missions, Saturday evenings at 6:30 Central and Sunday afternoons at 1 on American Family Radio.
Imagine you're blind and deaf and traveling alone on an airplane. It's a helpless situation, but thanks to a good Samaritan, the flight was made easier. A young girl on Alaska Airlines knew sign language and volunteered to sign in a stranger's hand to let him know flight details and see if he had any needs. Others gave him a better seat and kept his water glass filled. This is how Jesus wants us to help people. It's called the Golden Rule. If more of us practiced it, America would be a better place. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show. This is the world's number one show for the family caregiver. We are so grateful that you're with us. 888-589-8840. Listen, I got a very special guest. I invited him specifically for this show. It's our inaugural show on American Family Radio. And this is, man, look at the list of what this guy's done. Grammy Award winner, Dove Award winner, Country Music Hall of Fame, Gospel Music Hall of Fame, name it. This is Joe Bonsall, the tenor of the Oak Ridge Boys. Joe, thank you for being here with us this morning.
Peter, my friend, it's an honor to be with you. Thanks for having me on, and it's great to talk to you again. It's been a while.
It has been, but you've been a very busy boy since last I've seen. Oh, by the way, I hear that you're a fabulous weed eater.
Well, you know, my wife and I have a property up on the Tennessee-Kentucky line. We bought it 20 years ago. And it's a really nice farm with a lot of acreage and a lot of woods and a lot of hills and a lot of work.
Well,
I think it helps keep me in shape to go out there and just weed eat my tail off. And I do a lot of mowing out there, cutting some big fields. It's really quite lethargic. And I got to be honest with you, it's a way to get really close to God. You know, sometimes you got to be silent. You know, you got to listen. And in this age, everything's so loud that you don't take the time to listen. And to get way out there in the country like that, I don't know, it's like church to me.
Well, I can understand that. And I grew up out in the country myself. And but I love your pictures that you put up there. And that I follow you on Twitter. And you have a good time on your farm.
I apologize for that already.
Well, Joe, I specifically asked you on the show. This is our inaugural show on American Family Radio. A lot of my listeners here on this show right now, this network, have followed you, of course, for a lifetime. But they may not know the journey your family had. And this has been July 4th week. We've been talking about this great country. I know that your blood runs red, white, and blue. But people don't know your story, and particularly your mother's story of her journey with your dad. And I would like, this is all detailed in your book, G.I. Joe and Lily, which is a wonderful book. And if you get a chance, please go get this book. I actually teared up when I read it. It is a beautiful story of your folks. Tell us a little bit about your mom and dad.
Well, in a nutshell, my mom and dad were both World War II veterans. They both pretty much ran away from home and joined the Army. And my mother was a Women's Army Corps WAC, and my father was in the 90th Infantry. And on the first wave of attack at D-Day, on D-Day at Utah Beach. He fought 50 days in and got hit hard in Saint-Lô, France, after taking out a German machine gun nest single-handedly. He was awarded the Bronze Star. He got Purple Hearts for being shot up pretty badly, and a Silver Star. And those medals are why he's buried in Arlington today, along with my mother. They met when he came home from the war. My mother was working, like I say, with Women's Army Corps in Long Island at Mitchell Field, and they were expatriating, I forget the word, you know, getting the guys in correctly back into the States. And my mother met my father then. They got married 3 days later. They had me in 1948. I'm 70 years old. And we had one sister.
You look great when you're on a tractor, Joe.
Oh, thanks, man. I look like an old farmer, so I'm on a tractor. But, you know, the funny thing about all this, I grew up in Philadelphia. All of this takes place in Philly. I'm really a city guy at heart. That's why it's so amazing that I have this farm and all now. But to get back to the story, when my dad was 39 years old, he was working factories. And 39, he had a debilitating stroke. He had a piece of shrapnel catch in his carotid artery, and it cut off the blood flow to his brain, damaged his brain. It took away his right arm for the rest of his life. He never got anything in that right arm again. His leg, he could walk on it with a cane for several years, but eventually was wheelchair-bound. And his speech was 98% gone. He could speak maybe 2% of what, you know, that you could understand, and most of them were curse words that he learned in the veterans hospital when he first came out from being unconscious. So anyway, fact of the matter is, after spending some time in the veterans hospitals and trying to rehabilitate him, they got him as far as they could and sent him home. And my mother looked after him till the day he died, 1975. She was so dedicated to him. I think, to be real honest, my mother was not only a wonderful soul and a great Christian soul and my inspiration to this day, but my mother, I believed, she loved this country. She cried when a flag went by. She loved those men that served. And I think they all were encapsulated in my father. I think in him she saw the sacrifice that every one of those guys made. She saw them all coming home, many of them in pieces. And she just, her words were, I won't throw him away like an old shoe. I remember her saying that. And she never did, man. I mean, she looked after him, and we all looked after him. But there was just nothing like the dedication that my mother had to making sure that he was taken care of and looked after. She spent her whole life doing that. Yes, she loved him, but man, it was even more than that. It was some kind of angelic, God-given. You know, you talk about caregiving, Peter. I read your book as well, and I know what you've been through in your life. I don't know that everybody can do it. I don't know that I can do it, or that I could do it. I like to think I could. I mean, I love my wife. We've been married a long time. She's precious to me. If something happened to her, I think I could take on the mantle like you did. But you know, you just don't know. It's a hard road to hoe. And my mother, man, was just magnificent. She just was magnificent. And they rest together in Arlington Cemetery, and they had a great love story. Yes.
As you grew up in this environment, and the book G.I. Joe and G.I. Joe and Lily was rather candid, Joe. I mean, you did not gloss over the painful parts of growing up in a home with a wounded vet. Alcoholism, all these kinds of things were part of this journey with your dad. And your mother, I mean, she really is an extraordinary woman, clearly. And that comes out so beautifully in the book. And you honored your father, too. You didn't dishonor him, but you just have to we have to look at it for what it is.
My father, when he was even in old age, him and I got very close as he got older. I would go up there to Philly and surprise visit him in the little row house we grew up in. And we would sit in the back kitchen there on the table and play penny ante poker for 6, 7, 8 hours, all night long. And the pennies turned to nickels, which turned to quarters, and then he'd start getting out the green. I lost so much money to my father. It's amazing. Stroke victim and all, he could play his poker. Must have learned it in the Army. But I got to tell you, he would be candid with me, and he would say, Bonso, that's what he called me. And he'd make his hand like a gun and go, war, a god dang war. No, no, no. And he paid for that war his whole life. And in his younger days, yeah, he drank. He had nightmares. He was a pain in the can to live with some, to be honest, because of what he went through. But we all understood him, though, at the same time, my mother especially. And I remember
what would you say about him?
The machine gun.
What would you say, Joe, about families of vets that are wounded like this? Because we have so many that are coming back with all types of traumatic brain injuries, all types of neurological events that never recover from this. And your mother came from a different stock. You know, she's an extraordinary woman, but there are not a lot of your mothers out there, but there are a lot of people out there having to do what your mother did.
Well, you know, one of the things, and you know, as your book has encouraged so many people, I have heard over the years since my book came out, which was in 2003 now, but it still sells regularly, I've heard from so many young soldiers and their wives who wanted to be like my mother after reading that book. And that's always blessed my heart, and I know it certainly would hers if she knew that the young soldiers of today were reading her story as she used to tell it. You're going to write my story, aren't you, Joey? That's what she'd always tell me, and I always promised her I would. And I wish she had lived it to see the book, but I think she knows that I thought I wrote her story. But to get back to your thought there, and you were exactly right, war is hell. It's absolute hell. Battle is hell. You see things, and your adrenaline rush is such that there's nothing like it at all. And then to come back to normalcy or try to is very hard for these men. It was hard for my father. I saw it up close, man, and it was ugly. And our young people today have seen things and done things. I equate it like this. Have you ever been in a car wreck? I mean, like a really good bang-up car wreck where maybe you could have even died. The noise, yeah. The smells, the bent metal, the sounds, everything that happens to you right there. That adrenaline that happens. I was in a wreck like that one time, and every time I walked into my garage and could smell that smell of the oil or whatever in a garage, I got a little creeped out for a long time because of that wreck stayed in my mind. Combat is like that feeling every day of every week of every month continuous. These men go through this for days and days and days and days. What happens to that adrenaline rush? Where does it go? Does it even out? Do you just go crazy? And I think that we need a strong sense of understanding of these people because it's tough. If you've ever been in a good fist fight, growing up in Philly, I was in a few. Think of that rush that happens when you get punched in the face or you're punching somebody in the face. I've done it. It's a heck of a rush. Combat is worse than that, and it's continuous. It pays a big toll, man, on the mind and the body and the spirit. And the spirit of a young man, and we just need to understand these guys better, and we need to take care of them better. And I do think President Trump's trying to do that, and we need to, and we need to look after them. They're the best of us. They gave of themselves, and I think we owe it to them. But you're right. I don't know. I like to think my mothers are out there. I like to think there's people out there. You're out there. I think I'm out there, like I said earlier. I don't know for sure, though. But it's tough. It's tough. This PTSD thing is really hard.
We're talking to Joe Bonsall of the Oak Ridge Boys, talking about his journey and his family's journey through caring for his father, who was horribly wounded during World War II. And his mother took care of him for the rest of his life. Joe, we only got about a minute left. If you want to see more about Joe, go to josephbonsall.com. josephbonsall.com. Joe, I just want you to know I appreciate you calling. Just to take a moment to spotlight these wounded vets and their families. And I'm sorry we bumped up against the clock here. We got to run, but thank you so much. And I want to have you back on.
Peter, you're doing a great work. Good luck on your show, brother.
Thank you. Joe Bonsall of the Oak Ridge Boys. If you see a wounded vet, look at their family as well. Look at their family. This is what Joe's message is in G.I. Joe and Lily. Go to josephbonsall.com for more. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me. But over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Few words offer more peace and comfort than this one. Secure. But security may be something you've never had much of in your life. You may have experienced conditional love and performance-based love, but not much love that's there when you're unlovable. Maybe there have been people, positions, or things that were your security blanket, but when they're gone, and with them, that sense of being safe. If you've been disappointed in relationships, hurt a lot, or if you're tired of losing what you were hanging on to, then you're ready to experience God's love. God's love is complete and secure for those that come to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you want to learn how to have a relationship with Jesus and be eternally secure in God's love, then call 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. Or chat with us at chataboutjesus.com.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you more than three decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. And we are so glad that you're with us. If you want to be on the show, 888-589-8840. And I know you're thinking to yourself, self, wait a minute, are you kidding me? There's a show for caregivers on American Family Radio? Yeah, there is. And it is live on Saturday mornings. And the world of a caregiver never stops, and we're up early on Saturday mornings. And guess what? I'm up with you, and I'm bringing you my three decades of failure to help you avoid the same things I've done. And if you want to follow along on Facebook Live, we stream the show, Hope for the Caregiver, on Facebook Live, Twitter, Hope for Caregiver, the number four, YouTube channel, Hope for the Caregiver, podcast is free, Hope for the Caregiver. And the book is called Hope for the Caregiver, wherever books are sold. And I want to take a quick call here. Jamie from Jamie. Where are you from?
I'm from Greenwood, Arkansas.
Greenwood, Arkansas. Well, good morning. And how are you feeling?
Great. Great. Thank you.
Now, I understand that you have cerebral palsy and you have a severely handicapped child. Is that correct?
Yes. So I was born with cerebral palsy, and 12 years ago, my wife and I got married, and we had a boy named Judah, and Judah has a rare chromosome deletion. Part of one of his chromosomes isn't there. And he is very delayed developmentally. But God has used all of that in some really remarkable ways in our life.
He has a way of doing that, Jamie. He has a way of doing remarkable things with our very difficult, painful things.
Yes, sir. I remember when Judy was born, we had to be in the hospital for about a month and a half. And one day I was sitting in the waiting room reading the Gospel of John. I think it was John 9, and I'm reading the story about a man that was born blind, and they asked Jesus who sinned that made this man be born blind. And Jesus answers and said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but so that the works of God could be manifested, this man was born blind. And when I read that, it was like fireworks went off in my spirit, because what I realized is everything that we were going through at that point with our son and everything that I've gone through. I'm 32, so I've had cerebral palsy in 32 years. Everything that we've ever gone through was completely purposed by God. And even though it's not always easy, in fact, it's really easy for us, God means all of it for good. And when I got a hold of that freed me in 100 different ways.
I think Jamie, if you let me just jump in real quick, I think you got a hold of it, but I think it got a hold of you. And yeah, that is what the Word of God does. It gets into those places, and it has equipped you to do something extraordinary, because it's one thing to be a caregiver. It's another thing to be a caregiver with a disability. And let me ask you real quick, because I've got calls lined up here, and I want to try to squeeze in as many as I can before the end of the hour. How are you feeling, Jamie?
I'm great. In 2014, the Lord let me write a book that God published called Though He Slay Me, Seeing God as Good in Suffering. And so we've been able to share hope with many others through that book. And I'm just really excited to let other people know that God is so good, even in the midst of suffering.
Well, that is exactly what our verse was at the beginning of the show, 2 Corinthians 1:4. We comfort one another with the same comfort that we ourselves have received. Jamie, that's exactly what you're doing, and I want to thank you for doing it, and we are just grateful. Thanks for taking the time to call into the show. We're going to go to Peter from Arkansas. Peter, you with us?
No, it's Patrick from Arkansas.
Patrick from Arkansas. I'm going to have a sternly written letter to my call screener. And all right, Patrick, can you hear me? Can you go with it, baby? Go with it.
Yeah, I just want to give you a brief history. When I was born,
First off, are you a caregiver?
Yes, I've been.
Tell me who you care for.
I care for my little brother who has severe autism. I care for my grandmother as a child. My mom had cancer. She still takes care of my brother. But what happened was someone had to give money for me for them to save me. And it was a neighbor. So, you know, I figured God kept me on this earth for a reason to be a caregiver. But
He keeps you on this earth, Patrick, to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. That's why He keeps you on this earth. And part of that glorification of Him and the way your life glorifies Him is to care for others and to give the same hope that you yourself depend upon. And, you know, it's not that He says, okay, Patrick's the caregiver and that's it. No, Patrick is a child of God who is going to be used by God to minister to others that God brings into your life. And that's the joy. Now, how are you feeling today?
I feel pretty good. I'm kind of at a mixed emotion because I had to end up moving to Arkansas from Louisiana, and my mother.
Wait a minute. You don't have mixed emotions moving to Arkansas, do you? Arkansas is a fine state, Patrick. It's a fine state. You shouldn't have mixed emotions about that.
No, I just had to leave my mother. She's 86 years old, about to be 87, and my sister had to take my part in the caregiving part, and I got an 8-hour drive to go back and, you know, to do my part, you know. And
Lil, are you and your sister working it out?
We're working it out. Yeah.
All right. Good. Good.
Yeah.
Well, listen, and, I want you to know, listen, are you doing something for yourself today to strengthen you? What are you doing today to strengthen you?
I read Jesus Calling every morning in my Bible, every morning.
What did you read this morning that strengthened you?
That I was special to God. He's number one in my life, and He lets me know on a daily basis how special I am. And with AFR, you know, listening to Christian radio, that strengthened me, and that's what I do all day long while I'm working.
Well,
I have that point. And it's just
when you saturate yourself with the Word of God and the things of God, that's what's going to make the difference. You know, and I heard a great thing the other day, and we all know this, but He died for all of us, but He died for each of us. And that's how special we are, because that He knew your name as He took the nails. And that's that gives me great comfort to know that my Savior is not unaware of who I am, that it says my name is engraved in the palm of His hands, and so is yours. And that's incredible. So listen, Patrick, hey, thanks for taking the time to call in. And you and your sister keep working out, keep an open dialogue. And so that way it doesn't allow resentments and so forth to build in, and just keep that open dialogue going on, okay?
All right. Thank you so much, and have a blessed day.
Thank you for calling the show. Thanks for listening. This is Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio. And I want to tell you real quick about I'm getting ready to go to Africa in August. We have two programs at the company my wife and I founded. It's a ministry called Standing with Hope. Standing with Hope is was her vision after she lost both of her legs. And she said, you know what, I'm going to put legs on my fellow amputees. And we've been working in West Africa doing this for some time. We actually collect used limbs from around the country. And it goes to a local prison in Tennessee, here where we live in Nashville. And inmates volunteer to disassemble those legs, which is kind of cool. I call it Operation Footloose, as in turn that footloose so we can recycle it. And we'll recycle the foot, the knee, the pylon, the screws, the adapters, the connectors. Standingwithhope.com. If you know somebody who has an artificial leg that passed away and that you don't know what to do with the leg, we take them. We recycle them. And we're training and equipping local workers in West Africa to build legs for their own people. We're heading back over there and in August. Standingwithhope.com. And you can get involved in what we're doing right now. Thanks for taking time for the show here today. We will see you next week. This is Hope for the Caregiver. If you want to see more, go to standingwithhope.com. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. Today's a great day to start being a healthy caregiver. We'll see you next week.